All right, we are back at the Antlers for another week. The Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Bill Crawford joined by Damon Whitten. I'm not sure if we have someone else joining us tonight or not. We haven't really talked about that as yet. But Lakers, Damon, coming off a couple of big wins at home, 5-4 in overtime and then 4-3. And in both those games, Ferris State made a bit of a comeback late in the game to make what looked like was going to be a Laker victory, a much closer situation. But you get two wins, and that's what counts. That's 6 points in the WCHA standings. And we got three players of the week out of the four players that you can get, which is pretty darn good. I'll run that down just for a second before we talk about it. We got Ashton Calder, forward of the week. He had 2 goals and 5 points. That kid's having quite a year so far. Colin Sackleman, speaking of great years right now, he's got about 5 goals on the season, maybe 6. He's got 3 goals on the weekend and an assist. He was defenseman of the week. And then Louis Bedone, outstanding weekend, 1 goal and 3 assists, is rookie of the week. Only Anton Martinson, the goaltender from Alaska, broke the Lakers' hold on everything this weekend. He was outshot 38-23 on Saturday night and beat a very good Bemidji State team by a score of 3-1. So Martinson's the goaltender of the week, but other than that, it's Calder, Sackleman, and Bedone. And Sackleman was also the Madigan Pingitore Athlete of the Week at Lake Superior State this past week. So yeah, pretty good stuff.
Yeah, some real good individual performances. And Lucas Keibel is going to join us later on. So as part of that experience decor and, a little bit of international flavor as well as a German native and, spent a year in Fargo in the USHL before joining us here at Lake State. So Lucas will be able to shed some perspective on the past weekend. And I think, getting a little psyche of the team. You see from that stretch of games that we had difficulties, a couple 1-goal losses against some top teams in the country. And, I think there was a little bit of, a little fragileness to the team because of that and maybe a touch of doubt. And I thought that showed up a little bit this weekend. Certainly, as you said, certainly Saturday night, I thought 55 minutes was a really dominating performance. And it was, not close for very long, but they get the faceoff goal to make it a 2-goal game and the power play goal. So we're still a little bit, learning how to win with this year's team. And again, that schedule, that start probably, is a part of that reason. But I thought there was a lot of really good things on the weekend. So Lucas will be able to talk a little bit more about that as well. But you mentioned some of those individuals and even going to Friday's game where, similar kind of feel. I thought first period we were really outstanding and Ferris had 1 grade A in the whole first period. It happened with about 2 minutes left, just under 2 minutes left in the period. They finally got their first good scoring chance. It was off a turnover on our breakout, and they did a good job getting a puck to the net. But beyond that, we felt like we really controlled the first period. And then sure enough, you come out, but we didn't cash in. So it was still 0-0. We had some good looks, some good opportunities. I think we had about 7 or 8 grade A's, which is pretty high for one period. So a really strong start to Friday night. And then second period comes out, we take 4 straight penalties. So all of a sudden, all that energy, all the momentum you have is getting sucked away, and they're taking over a little bit because of that 8 minutes to kill in the first, I think, 12 or 13 minutes. And, at the same time, your top guys are going and going. So, we shot ourselves in the foot there a little bit and gave them, a grasp on the game or some life that was a little bit self-inflicted in some ways. And they earned it, too, with some possession, some good plays, and the way they play, some good speed up the ice that we had to recover on. So, that game ends up being closer. We give up a late lead again, which has been, troublesome and frustrating for sure. And certainly the heroics of Max Humitz, was good. And he recovered from a penalty that it took 200 feet from our own net. So that discipline, again, second period with 4 penalties was, not acceptable. To take a penalty 200 feet from your own net late in the game, to give them a chance in the power play to tie it up, not acceptable. Like, we've got to clean that up. And that's on me to make sure, we learn from that and set standards of how we play, certainly in the third period as well. But Max came up big. I thought Will Rydell quietly had a really good weekend, and Will was really set up that game-winning goal. He won a foot race back to the puck and just used a quick up, and Dustin Manns was right there to chip it up to Hampus, and then Hampus made a real good poise play to find Max down the far wing, and Max has that great wrist shot, that great release. So it was a big moment to get an overtime win, and you could see the confidence and the relief maybe a little bit too to get that result. So that was really important for us. And then you come to Saturday. Again, I thought for 55 minutes, a really dominating performance. I thought we were really, really good through most of that game. you know, with the 4-1 lead, you know, we may have handled things a little bit differently on that faceoff and late in the game without that big lead. But, you know, we wanted to give some guys some opportunity to, you know, to get a look in some crunch situations. You know, last year, that's probably Diego on the ice taking that draw. And we got to figure out for this year's edition, you know, who are going to be those guys we lean on at those critical moments and those big faceoffs, things like that, and that group of five, that personnel there. So, you know, unfortunately, there's another faceoff goal against. I think we had three faceoff goals against on the weekend. Two of them, I believe, came on offensive zone draws. And that's, you know, as a coach, that's you don't get much sleep after that, because, again, that's really important to our process, the way we rate our team, the way we grade out. You know, we want to be really good on faceoffs, which we were outstanding on winning them Saturday night. But part of that is not giving up faceoff goals against, and that bit us both nights. But again, dominating performance through much of that game. They get in it late with a faceoff goal. And then again, we take another, you know, silly penalty in the offensive zone with the 2-goal lead and a couple minutes left. You know, I guess I think the other part, a little bit of the tale of our season early on, 5-on-3, we hit two posts. Miro Muka hits a crossbar earlier in the game. And then they, on the power play late, they missed the net way wide, hits our glass, which is usually kind of a heavy dead glass. That puck kicks all the way back out in the slot, and they're able to bury a rebound off the end wall there. So, you know, we're still not getting a lot of the bounces and breaks, but, you know, we fought through that, two big wins. And, you know, those individuals, as you mentioned, you know, were outstanding. Louis Bedon, you know, a big, big weekend from Louis, and the confidence in this kid is just taking off. He's a really dynamic playmaker, high-end skill, high-end vision. He's been dynamite in the power play. So, you know, he looks like he's going to kind of keep growing with confidence and play. He was really good. Ashton Calder was outstanding all weekend long, both nights. You know, just making the right ways. He's got a better heaviness to his game to this season, just with a good summer once again. But Ashton is a very good player. You know, was going to be a tremendous player for us over the next couple of years, and is really good right now. So he's currently leading our team in scoring, off to a great start there. And Colin Sockerman, I thought the last 2 weekends been the best D on the ice from either team. That's down at Notre Dame, and certainly this weekend versus Ferris State. You know, playing a very confident game right now, a very heavy game. You know, maybe not as celebrating in our own zone this year, partly maybe with the goals we've given up, but he's getting it done at both ends and been very good for us.
Yeah, you look at Sackleman, I think I said a few minutes ago, he's got 4 or 5 goals. He has six goals. Yeah. He has 6 goals and 3 assists for 9 points. He stands third on this team in scoring. That's pretty good for
it
the defense.
And part of it, Bill, Friday night, his goal was originally given to Will Rydell. I think that the refs and the off-ice officials thought Will Rydell tipped it. He was kind of activating in Will's net front, but you know, after watching the game back, it went straight in, no tip. So during the game, that goal was credited to Will Rydell, but it got changed to Colin Sockerman. But yeah, I think he's leading the nation in D goals. I think he's second in points. You know, he did it last year. He's really good. You know, he's a really good player. I think as a coach, one of the things you really appreciate is it's not just, he's not cheating the game. It's not at one end. He comes down, he blocks shots. He's a top penalty killer, you know, plays the right way for 200 feet. And it's been awesome to see, you know, as a senior, you know, how important those are to our program in the year he's having.
Does magic tricks, makes things disappear.
Magic man, yep.
Well, I'll tell you what, the other thing I like about Sackleman, he's always been this way, is that he's a tough kid. I mean, he took a hit behind the net. Cole Norris is not a small man, and they went in there together, and they were both kind of off balance, and Norris used Sacco to break his fall into the glass. And not very many people would have gotten up from that pile up behind the net, but Sackleman came right back and played the next shift, and the kid took a 5-minute penalty for taking him in like that. You know, you look at this team, Erickson right now has been pretty quiet of late, but he's got 2 goals, 9 assists. He is tied right now with Ashton Calder for the point lead on this team with 11. Ashton's got 4 and 7. Humitz has 5 goals, 5 assists. Very well balanced player there, as we all know. Probably the best offensive player we've got, but he's got 10 points right now. And then you got Sackleman with 9, and Louis Bedon, freshman, 3 goals, 8 points right now for Lake Superior State. And, you know, those three freshmen that are in the lineup, they really all played well all weekend. All three of them, and Henriksen's starting to fit right in now to where he can play on defense for the Lakers. But Dustin Manns is outstanding, I think. He's a very smart player, and he wins a lot of faceoffs. He was really good in the faceoff circle on Saturday night.
Yeah, I mean, you hit a lot, but, you know, those freshmen are playing well. I think we've got other freshmen who can help us, and, you know, they're trying to be patient and bide their time to get in. But, you know, Dustin is unbelievable on the wall. in between the faceoff circles as well. He was outstanding on faceoffs, as you mentioned, but so heavy on the puck. You know, he really understands how to protect pucks, you know, make plays out of that, attack the net, all those areas. And so I think his play has been really good. You know, it's hard to be young down the middle of the ice there. Center's a really tough place to step in as a freshman and play. You know, we've shifted some things around and jumbled some guys from our first week or two. And, you know, right now we've kind of slotted in that way. So I think he's done a good job. You know, Louis Bidon, we talked about, but he's been really good as a freshman. And Arvid Henriksen, you know, we went six defensemen on Saturday with Arvid being one of those six defensemen. And we really liked his play. You know, Mike, you know, typically runs the D on a game night. And, you know, if you notice the last 2 minutes, Arvid had a shift or two, high trust level. His hockey IQ, his defensive reads are outstanding. He's not going to be maybe as dynamic offensively as some of our guys and the opportunity they get, but his ability to defend at 6'5 with elite skater, I would call him elite at 6'5, how powerful he is, how well he skates, and I think he's going to be outstanding for us, and it was a really strong game for Arvid as well. So that group showed up and had a real strong performance for that freshman class.
Yeah, it's good stuff that's going on right now. That's two big wins at home. You're going to get a tough test this weekend with a long trip to Bemidji. We'll talk about that in the second portion of our hockey show here tonight. We've also got questions coming from our fans. We've got quite a few with us here tonight at the Antlers. Don't forget, it's election day. Get out. We've got a mayor to be elected as well as some city commissioners. And don't forget that. Take your chance to get out between now and 8 p.m. tonight. And hey, take it easy out there, too. It's down to about 26 degrees. It's very slippery right now at all the corners in Sault Ste. Marie. And we'll take a break. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for the second segment of the Laker Hockey Show. We'll get some questions from the fans in here in just a moment. We've got some other things to talk about, and I think all the fans know that one of our better hockey players went down in the second period Saturday night would look like a fairly serious injury. We can't be without Jacob Nordquist too long in this lineup, and he went out of the game, did not return. He did not practice today or yesterday, so I'm assuming he may not be making the trip to Bemidji, but what's the situation there? What can we talk about with Jacob Nordquist?
Yeah, you know, just a lower body injury, and, you know, obviously it resulted in a five-minute major, and I think you know, Lutz got a little shoulder to shoulder there. Like it wasn't quite as bad as I thought watching it back, but the timing was so poor. That puck had been gone for so long. It was such a late hit, and that's the frustrating part. So, you know, Jacob's a big part of our team. You know, he's such a dynamic player, and just IQ and skating, you know, really a big piece of our team and our decor. So, you know, any time is not time you want with Nordy out of the lineup. But, you know, we don't have all the details yet, still waiting from some results, certainly lower body injury, obviously. And, you know, probably doubtful at this point for the weekend is what we're looking at. You know, early kind of, I guess, diagnosis is it doesn't look real long term. And so that's probably the good side of it. You know, definitely doubtful for the weekend. And, you know, but we'll know a little bit more. Obviously, with the long trip, you know, we're heading out soon. And, you know, we'll have to make some decisions. So, you know, if he can get back for Saturday, you know, do you take him for a guy that can play one game? And that's sort of the things you got to look at from a coaching perspective. You know, you get Jacob Nordquist back for Saturday night. That's pretty intriguing that you want him in your lineup if he's at, you know, 85-90%. But, you know, we'll give it another 24 hours and just over that, I guess, and then make a decision shortly before we head out of town.
Yeah, it's one of those things. This is a tough trip. It's a long trip. You're going to leave on Wednesday night on a sleeper bus and go all night and arrive at Bemidji on Thursday morning and set up camp there. But that's kind of a tradition. It's the same way with Mankato, same way with Huntsville. But this one's tough. You're going up into the middle of Minnesota, and there's a lot of two-lane highway driving, et cetera, and it can get dangerous, and that's why we do things the way we do them. But you got to be real careful with who you take. You can only take 22 right. players. You got a quota sure. here on what you can do. So now you got to figure out you're going to play against a pretty good skating team in Bemidji on its ice. Now you got to think about, okay, who do we want here on this trip and who can't go, et cetera. Yeah. That's not easy. You got to sit down and confab on this.
Yeah, it's a great point, Bill, and I think that's something that we talk about a lot. You know, there's a lot of similarities between Bemidji and Ferris in terms of some of the structure they play with, the way they play. But, you know, Bemidji has probably a little bit more pace to their game, and that's what you just hit on. So we've got to bring a lineup that can skate and match that speed. You know, Alex Simandl, and I know you talked off the air about Alec. You know, he was out a couple of weeks back with an injury. He's back, cleared, ready to play, and with his skating ability, he's a guy that, you know, we want to get in, we need to get in, and then he's earned the opportunity to play here. And so, you know, we'll look for him, and certainly with the opportunity, if Jacob can't go, that'd be a real good opportunity for Alec to get in there and use his skating ability. So, yeah, that's a big part of our conversation. We have to bring guys that can match the pace of Bemidji, and they've got a couple burners in there. And, you know, a speedy lineup is something that we're looking at. We can take 23 now. They changed the rule where you can dress the extra guy. So you're up to 23, which gives you a little bit more flexibility, and that's kind of nice. But you're still limited, as you said, what you can take in when school's in session in WCHA play.
Yeah, you went with a 6D on Saturday night and dressed the extra forward. That gave a different player a chance to get into the lineup. Owen Guy got in there again on Saturday night. But, you know, people want to know, well, why is Tyler Anderson out? He's played in every game up until now. Well, it's just a numbers game here. Somebody's got to sit out so that Owen Guy can play, and it happened to be Tyler Anderson. It's not that he isn't playing well. He's been playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's that's a really challenging part of the locker room and you know, managing your roster, your players, you know, especially in today's world with you know, I guess quick trigger on the transfer portal, and you're seeing it all over college football and things like that. But, you know, that's definitely, you know, part of, I guess I don't want to share too much of the conversations we have with our players, but, you know, you don't want to be in the discussion to have just an okay game. You know, being just okay is not what we're looking for. And if you're playing just okay, there's a good chance you might come out and give somebody a chance who, you know, wants to get in, is going to bring some desperation, some urgency, you know, some compete that they're working so hard. So that's a small piece of it. Like you said, we've got guys that we really like, really trust. You know, Alex Simandl should have gotten a couple games. Again, he was out, I think, 2 weekends with injury. You know, so that was part of that. You know, Nico's played a game. He can play. Bluger can play. So, you know, we've got to find some moments and some opportunities to get guys in. That means somebody who's playing solidly or even maybe playing well, they might come out at night. And it's not always a bad thing. You know, not that the players ever want to be in those shoes, but when you can go upstairs and watch from up above and watch Sacco the way he plays, or the best guys from Notre Dame or wherever it is, you know, you can learn from that, and you can just, you know, take the pressure off from one night, be a student of the game, as long as you come back Monday and get back into it. I think Tyler's done a good job. He's had a good couple of days of practice. You know, that is not a long-term move. He's a big part of our decor. You know, he brings such an element of physicality and size and that great shot. But yeah, you know, you have to make decisions sometimes. And, you know, part of that is based on your opponent. Part of that is based on game reviews and, you know, sending the message that, hey, a B minus game or a C plus game isn't going to cut it. You know, you have to be at an A level, a B plus level, to maintain your spot when you have competition and depth in your lineup.
Couple of things that really improved on the weekend, especially Saturday night. The power play went 3-for-8 overall, 1-for-5 on Friday, but 2-for-3 on Saturday. So the power play's coming a bit here. Although they were 5-minute power play chances, it still moved the puck very, very well. And faceoffs have really improved dramatically. Now, that may be that Ferris State's centers aren't as good as Notre Dame or Michigan's, and they probably aren't, but it's still a good weekend. I thought Brendan McKay was outstanding Saturday night. I think he was 13-4 in the faceoff circle, and Dustin Manns, the aforementioned freshman, he was like 10-4 or 10-3.
Yeah, really good. Yeah, I think you know, we were good that way, and you know, certainly, you know, that's important for us to get Brendan you know, that role and thriving. That's what he did for us, you know, most of last year, all of last year. He's one of our top penalty killers, so he's got to come out, start off the penalty kill with an important face-off, and you know, try to get that win as well. So I thought it was his best game of the year by far. You know, I'm sure he'll probably tell you it hasn't been the start that he envisioned for this year for him. And you know, he's done some things well. There's been some areas where we'd like him to be a little bit better, but I thought that was a great step, you know, for him to go in and play that way, respond to some of the things we've talked to him about. You know, that's who he is. So I was really excited and you know, happy for Brendan to get that game under his belt. He's backed it up. I thought his line with Basilico and Johnson in practice today was outstanding. So, you know, getting those guys going. And we talked to that line all the time. I think it was with Chase last year at Mankato. But we went into Mankato last year, won that game. That line was the best line on the ice. They played major minutes. And so if you can go into Mankato, who's, I think, lost one game at home in their last 60, 70 games and be the best line, you know, that's a high bar you've set, and that's the expectation we have of those guys. So I really liked the game Saturday night in particular from the McKay line, and, you know, that's our expectation. And so, you know, they play like that, they'll start seeing more minutes, more opportunities, and, you know, that's kind of our challenge to them. And again, they've backed it up. Brian Basilgo had his best practice of the year today, and that whole line was really good. So I thought Ian Johnson went and did a good job. Everybody remembers Friday night, second period, you know, again, we had a good start, couldn't score. Ian Johnson made a big hit in our D zone, going through his point man, knocked a guy down in his butt. Sure enough, down 2-on-1, Mitch Oliver, the big slap shot rebound Pete Viette puts in. So Ian Johnson really got our team going on Friday night by just making, you know, the right play, a simple play. You might not notice that at all through the game, but it leads to the, you know, the first goal of the game. Our building's into it. So Ian Johnson really had a big impact on getting that game going for us on Friday night.
Yeah, and those guys came back as a unit and played together again on Saturday night. No changes at all, and that shows you that they did a good job on Friday night. You know, to me, Brendan McKay, I always want to call him Austin. His brother played here, too, and both of them wore numerals and letters on their jersey. But Brendan McKay is one of those guys who's got, as you like to say, money in the bank. This is a kid who's done a good job for us for 3 years plus. And, you know, he wins faceoffs, he kills penalties, he plays hard, he's got that A on his jersey. It's pretty hard, even though he has no points right now. He came close to having a couple of goals on Saturday night.
Eh? What a great chance.
You can ride with that a bit.
It's coming.
Because,
you know, it's
he
coming,
does other things.
Which is good. You know, and I don't know if this story's ever been shared, but I can't remember if it was my first year or second year, but, you know, we walked into that roster, and it must have been the end of my first year maybe, and, you know, we got to know Barry McKay a little bit, certainly knew Austin, and I can't remember if he had a letter on that year or not, but Austin McKay is as good as a kid as you can find, like just a tremendous human being, a phenomenal teammate. You know, that's how you want your locker room built, with guys like Austin McKay. So I think around Christmas or somewhere like that, I know it was Barry, or I think Austin approaches and said, hey, you know, my brother's playing up in Saskatchewan, looking for a spot, whatever, whatever, and, you know, we don't really go to that league anymore, just based on, you know, resources and availability, time to get up there. So we started watching on video and saw some things we liked, and, you know, but never saw him live. And so, you know, they just, you know, and talking to Brendan, hey, I just want a chance, coach. I want a chance. And so we ended up telling Brendan, you know, you can come in and redshirt your first year, and, you know, we'll kind of get to know you and see where you fit in and things like that. So, you know, no promises ever that there'd be a chance to play or be part of it. So this kid has earned everything that's come his way. You know, we had the great year last year with 13 points and just a valuable guy. So, you know, again, I don't think the season has started exactly how he thought it would or planned it would. He wanted to build off those 13 points and, you know, expand that. I think it can still come. And so that's why that encouragement, that money in the bank has come from him paying his dues, going back to his redshirt year. He's a fifth year guy now, physically very mature. I think his birthday is either tomorrow or last Wednesday. So he's an older college. I think he's 25 years old, 26 years old. So a very mature, very old kid, great in our locker room, just like Austin. So it's a kid that's very easy to root for. And that money in the bank is part of it, you know. So we stayed a little patient with them, and I think it's really going to pay off for him and for us.
All right, we've got questions from our fans who are with us here tonight. We'll get into those when we come back. We're going to take our second break of the night. It's the Laker Hockey Show again tonight from the Antlers on East Portage on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for segment number three here at the Antlers on a Tuesday night, a cold Tuesday night. If you're listening in down in Florida tonight, it was 26 degrees when I came in here this afternoon. So it's turning to winter in the eastern Upper Peninsula. And we're going to be playing against the Bemidji State Beavers this weekend, Damon. That's always a tough test, especially there. They are a long way away from us. That trip can take it out of you a little bit, but it's something that we're used to here at Lake Superior State. We make a lot of long trips. This is the first of three that we will make this season, and it'll be interesting to play them. They're a team that I think you said a few moments ago, they're a little bit like Ferris State in that they are very structured. They're well coached by Tom Ceratori, yeah, who's been around for a long time. They've got a lot of veterans in their lineup, but they're quick, too. They like to get behind you, and we saw some of that this past weekend. Ferris State got behind us a couple of times, and your defense has really got to communicate and really got to pay attention, and especially at Bemidji.
Yeah, keep guys in front of you is a big part of it. We were talking to the staff, and it's always interesting to see your scheduling and how it lays out. And we actually have 3 weeks in a row here where there's a lot of similarities between Ferris State, Bemidji, Michigan Tech. Really the big ones, the D-zone coverage, the way each of these teams play and surrounds and swarms in their D-zone and tries to outnumber you. So, you know, that helps a little bit. You don't have to switch week to week to major changes. You know, neutral zone-wise, we'll see a very similar look to Ferris as well. Forecheck will face a little bit of a different look if Bemidji holds up to what they typically do. And, you know, I think we've had success against their forecheck, so I'm really interested to see if, you know, they'll make some adjustments and try to throw a different look at us. But, you know, it's a similar look, and that's good, but the pace is what where the difference is. They're a little bit opportunistic offensively where, you know, we'll have some zone time and you know, maybe get a little impatient and try to activate a guy or force a puck, and that's when they look to send a guy and chip a puck and, you know, create that odd man rush or that breakaway. So really, even though you always have to be relentless and urgent and desperate in a lot of ways the way you play, you really have to have a lot of poise against a team that plays this way. You can't get impatient. As soon as you cheat or, you know, guess, you know, that's when they spring that guy or, you know, make that disruption and chip a puck and set up a foot race. So I think opportunistic is a pretty good way to describe the way they play offensively, but extremely structured and well-coached to the neutral zone and their D zone. You know, and I think the other area that's looked good for us the last, you know, year or two, or maybe even, matching Mankato is our size, and certainly our size in the back end. And, you know, Ruggs, Ruggiero steps out, but, Arvid Henriksen steps in as another 6'5" guy. So they're a small, speedy forward group for the most part. They sprinkle a couple size guys in there, but, you know, we have a good advantage size wise. They're going to have some quickness in that first step because of that, that size mismatch. But we certainly want to play, you know, that heavy mindset, make sure we're disrupting and changing angles on their forecheck and the OZP. But really important, we get into their bodies and use our size and to our advantage to disrupt the way they play. But it's going to be a good matchup, and that pace, you know, you always talk pace with Bemidji, and they're going to bring that and throw that right at you.
Yeah, they've always had little guys like the Fitzgerald brothers who would fly around out there and give you a tough time. They've still got some players like that. They had Jay Dickman the last few years, who's like 6'6". And
yeah, they're big,
220 pounds. He's gone, thank goodness. And the Lakers will have their hands full, but if we can play if we play up to our potential, we'll be all right this weekend. Now, one of the questions from our fans here tonight is sort of similar to what we're talking about. They've got really fast wingers. They like to cherry pick. Your defense is going to have to adjust, and that's what we just talked about. We've got a hilarious question here from one of our fans. Is Nico Esposito going to develop to be as good as his grandfather, Phil?
That's the plan. If we're
he better grow.
Yeah. If we're any good, that's what we'll turn him into, that future Hall of Famer. But you know what? Again, we've talked a fair amount about Nico, but he's a really good player. You know,
yes,
he's a really good player. Nico, you know, this is one of the other things when you're roster management or making these decisions, is Nico's probably more of a top six forward, right? With his skill set, his scoring background, his stick skills are unbelievable. He's quick, you know, quick and fast. And so, you know, he probably slots in more as a top six forward. But when you have guys, you know, like Calder playing in there, Max Humitz is a senior, you know, Gelsinger's out, but Braden Gelsinger, you know, but he's not really made for a bottom, you know, more of a bottom six role. And so that's one of those challenges, you know, can you get him in there and ask him to play a bottom six? You can. He'd love to play and get in there. But, you know, that's where Nico will be. And he's going to get there because he's a really good player. We see it in practice all the time. You know, we're preaching to him, be a little bit patient. It's not a one-month snapshot or a three-month snapshot. This is a four-year picture of development and you know, where you need to be. And he's been really good about that. But he's a good player, and I think he's going to be a big impact guy for us as we move forward, you know, throughout this year and certainly over his 4 years with Lake State.
Yeah, it's interesting, this Bemidji State team, too. They're 1-3-2 right now overall, but they've tried to do what the Lakers have tried to do. They played good teams. They played North Dakota. They played St. Cloud State. They paid for that a little bit in that they've lost a couple of but they've all been close. They haven't been blown out by anybody. And they're always tough on their home ice. Sarah Torrey's a good coach.
Yeah, you know, and again, that's, you know, they're low scoring. You look at their games, they've been mostly low scoring games. And I think that's both sides. You know, they don't have, you know, some of the numbers that our guys have. And I think that can maybe fool you a little bit and thinking they can't do that. But that's a little bit based on their style of play. They want to defend first and foremost and, you know, be really difficult difficult to play against in those areas. And it leads to more of those, you know, those isolated rushes and things like that. So they don't get maybe the numbers we come up with. But it's a good team. And again, pace. And you've hit it enough and I've hit it. But, you know, they're going to have a couple chances, you know, just the way they play. You can't shut them down all night typically unless you're really going to change what you do and pull your own guys out. You know, we want to possess pucks. We want to have offensive zone possession. We don't want to give that up for the sake of just sitting back and letting them pull guys out of our zone. But it's a fine line. You know, you can't cheat it. And North Dakota had, you know, multiple examples in their game where they had a 30, 40 second offense. His own possession, you know, all of a sudden a guy cheats or he thinks he can take advantage, bam, Bemidji's going the other way with an odd man or a breakaway and they take advantage there. So very opportunistic, and we've got to, you know, just have that poise and that patience to our game.
Yeah, they're coming off a weird weekend up in Alaska. They went up to Fairbanks and Anton Martinson didn't play the way on Friday that he did on Saturday, and they beat the Alaska 4-0. And then they come back and they outplay Alaska badly. You can tell by the shots on goal, the chances. They were 0-for-7 on the power play Saturday night, and they get beat 3-1.
Yeah, I actually talked to Coach Largent today for some other scheduling things going on. But certainly when you have him on the line and they just played your opponent, you're going to pick his brain a little bit. And so it was interesting to hear his take on the series. And, you know, a lot of the things we talked about, he hit on. And, you know, he felt like whether some of their travel early on, I think they've been, you know, they were out at Penn State the week before maybe. And, you know, he felt like the Nanooks, his team, did not play as well as they have been playing, and he felt fortunate that they maybe, you know, got that win on Saturday night after being outplayed badly on that night and the night before, you know, probably deserved differently as well. So you know what you're getting. You know Tom's, Coach Territory's been there a long time, and you know, they have an identity they like to play to, so we're prepared for that, and we're trying to prep our guys as best we can. A little bit of that short week at home, but again, we'll be excited to arrive. That long trip, you get there, you have Thursday night to get a good skate in and, you know, finish preparation out there in Bemidji.
Yeah, it's going to be a big series, and it'll be a good one. Matt Pocket's going to be there to provide the play-by-play back on Yes FM, and you'll be able to hear their play-by-play announcers if you're going to watch Flow Sport, which a lot of people do these days, and watch the TV version of it. But both games will be in the Central time zone, and I think the second one starts at 7 Eastern time on Saturday. First game's 8 o'clock Eastern time on Friday night. So lots of work to do there. Merrick Smitten started both games this past weekend. I think that surprised a lot of people because Roman Bengert had made such a strong debut at Notre Dame the weekend before. But Merrick's has played well. I thought he made a tremendous save late in the game on Friday night. Kept that puck out of our net, would have been a tie game at that time.
Well, I think it's been challenging for both guys. You know, a lot of people talked about Roman's game and how well he played, and then, you know, but you look at both guys' numbers and they're not where, you know, we're going to need them to be and where they'd like to be. I don't think it's on them. I think they both played. I thought Roman first period was outstanding, you know, and then a lot of situations where not on our goaltending. And I think Merrick's has been the same way. You know, a lot of the things going on, including that second goal on Saturday, you know, he makes an initial save and there's a guy wide open to bat it out of the air and put it in the back of the net. So our goaltending's been good. You know, Roman, it was great to see Roman, and you and I talked off air again. You know, he reminds me a little bit of our situation at Michigan Tech, where Phoenix Copley was kind of in front of Jamie Phillips, and then Phoenix Copley signed as a sophomore. All of a sudden, Jamie Phillips finally gets an opportunity to play a little bit more. He goes on to be a Hobie Baker candidate. So, you know, Roman is capable, and again, I think we'll see him sooner than later, and you know, we like where we're at with that situation. We just, you know, it's that money in the bank a little bit. He hasn't had the experience that Merrick's has had. And it's our job to find him some more opportunities to give him those chances to show what he can do, because it was a great debut for him.
Well, I think both those guys will be traveling this weekend. Roman will probably be the backup goaltender on Friday night, but that remains to be seen. We'll see what happens in practice tomorrow and up there in Bemidji. And both those games will come your way on Friday and Saturday nights. We're almost out of time in our third segment here, Damon. I want to thank you for being with us again tonight. We're going to move Lucas Keibel in the fourth segment tonight and talk a little bit about playing defense at Lake Superior State. And You know, I guess we're off to a pretty good start. We aren't where we want to be, maybe. We were 5-1-1 after 7 last year. We're not quite at that level right now, but we've played some pretty darn good hockey teams in here, and I think we've learned an awful lot.
Well, I think that's key. I think there's been valuable lessons. You know, I think as a coach, you love to learn lessons while you're winning games. I think that's easier on us as coaches and certainly fans and things like that. But, you know, I think that stretch versus Denver, Notre Dame, Michigan, a lot of things we learned. And I think even this weekend, you know, if we get out of Saturday night with no adversity, I think our mindset's a little bit different. I think we're thinking we're pretty darn good. And, you know, we just, you know, really control the game. So I think you can learn from that. Certainly we've got a, you know, and our guys are well aware, if you don't put 60 minutes together, you know, it's going to be tough to win games and you're going to put yourself in a bad spot. So yeah, we continue to learn and, you know, every year is a little bit different. You know, our early success last year, you could just see it snowball and confidence build. Maybe the opposite this year with, you know, not winning that stretch of games. You know, we're the opposite. We're learning how to win and close games out. And, you know, we have some inexperience in some areas. And it's just a new group. So we continue to move through it and learn. I've liked our response the last couple of days in practice. And, you know, I think we might lead the nation in games played. If not, we played as many as anybody else. And I think that's an area we're looking at as well. We do not have a first half bye, a couple of tough road trips coming up. So we've really tried to manage our practice minutes and our recovery well, you know, including a day last week or post Notre Dame where our guys who played both games, you know, took the day off from on the ice. And so we got to be a little bit alert to, you know, the minutes played by a lot of our guys and be smart there. But we're learning. It's a fun team. It's a good group, and you know, we like the direction we're headed in, and we've got to look to keep it going Friday night versus Bemidji.
All righty, on the road this weekend, we'll let Damon get out of here. We'll move Lucas Kiebel in our fourth segment and talk to him about the player's angle on things, and we'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. Okay, back for our final segment on a Tuesday night, live from the Antlers. It's the Laker Hockey Show. Damon Witten is moving on out. Bill Crawford's still here, along with Lucas Kiebel, who joins us now. Lucas is a junior defenseman, as all the fans know, and comes to us one of the many players we have on this team who are not from the United States. And Lucas, let's talk a little bit. You're from Mannheim, Germany. Let's explain to all the listeners and the fans who are with us here tonight all about your minor hockey days, how you learned to play this game in Germany, and then how you came to the United States to play junior hockey before you came here.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me, Bill. Yeah, as you said, I learned hockey in Mannheim, which is a hockey town in Germany, and you don't hear that a lot because mostly soccer is played there. But my parents actually don't have anything to do with hockey, so it's kind of a cool story. All the pro players from the hockey team there lived in my street. And they have had kids, of course, and they played street hockey all the time. And I just kind of, you know, as a little kid, started playing too. And then one of the players just grabbed me with their kids and started skating and never looked back from there. Started playing hockey, minor hockey there in Mannheim. It's a little bit different than here. We don't really have high school hockey, so it's more club hockey. And then it just goes up from the under 10, under 12, under 14, and just moved up the ladder there in Mannheim. And played juniors in Mannheim too, 3 years before I came over to...
Now, how old were you when you actually got started? How old were you when you first put on the skates and played organized hockey?
Well, the first putting on the skates was a little bit earlier than that with my grandpa, actually. I think it was 3 or something. And then, you know, putting on the skates, playing a little bit of hockey at home was, I think it was 4 or 5 maybe.
Mm-hmm. And then you play up through the system, such as they have at club hockey, et cetera, and some junior hockey in Germany.
Yeah.
How did you end up coming from Germany to play in the United States? Because you had to play over here for a while to get spotted by a college recruiter to play college hockey.
Yeah, so I was pretty lucky. The junior hockey team in Germany, in Mannheim, is probably the best one that they have in Germany. And they play the tournament in the U.S. every year. So the first year we went to Grand Forks, and then we played a tournament in Minneapolis the following year. And there, you know, some scouts and a couple people saw me playing there, and then I ended up getting drafted by the Fargo Force because they saw me playing there.
Now, who from Lake Superior State recruited you from Fargo to come here?
Well, from Fargo, I talked with
Rich Metro.
Yeah, with Rich. Yeah. I talked with Rich. He came and contacted me first through my advisor, and then yeah.
And then you wind up coming to Lake Superior State, and I think you're pretty happy here. I think you'd say that was a good decision for you.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is you know, we always talk about this on air during games, etc. I find this very interesting. I've been around for a long time, but the international flavor of this team is incredible. The players we have three Swedish players, two from Latvia, and then we've got you, and we've got Yuki from Japan, and we've got Muka from Slovakia, and Badone from France. This has got to be as international a lineup as there is in college hockey.
Yeah, it's really awesome, I think. I think it, you know, adds a lot to the team, you know, having those people. Also, Yuki, you know, from Japan, just talking with him a little bit, asking him how the culture is there, and it's been really fun to have that many people from different countries.
Well, it's a tremendous learning experience for all of you. I mean, and you throw the Canadian guys and the Americans in there. We point out generally during a game how many U.S.-born players, how many Canadians we got in there, and it's usually like 8-6, and then we go to all the guys from everywhere else. And I found it interesting when Ian Johnson was on like the second weekend of the Laker hockey show, and I asked him about all the international players, and he said, well, every once in a while we have to yell, speak English in the dressing room.
Yeah, that's true.
I thought that was pretty good. But, you know, it's been a good start. The last year was a really good start. This year has been good because we played really tough teams. Let's talk a little bit about that and how you guys view going up against Denver and then playing at Michigan and then playing at Notre Dame. These are really tough tests as college hockey players, and we didn't have a tremendous amount of success, but we didn't get blown out anywhere either. We played right with them.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, obviously not the, you know, results we wanted out of those games. But we were playing really well. I think there's a lot of good lessons to take from those games, you know, moving forward.
Well, you've been kind of moving around a little bit here, too. You play just about every game. I don't know if you haven't sat at all this season. And thank goodness you haven't been injured this season. You've had that problem in the past. But, you know, you've been paired with different guys this past weekend. You played with different people, et cetera. You're out there on the power play. You'll kill penalties. It's got to be a really unique experience for you to come and play college hockey in the U.S. and then get all this tremendous experience.
Yeah, it's really great. You know, I take a lot of pride in that, you know, being out there for all the situations, you know, being the man relied on, you know, in power play and in killing, and I take a lot of pride in that.
How much work do you do off season, and do you go home? Do you go back to Germany in the off season?
Yeah.
Do you work out? Obviously you do. You got to stay in shape because you got to be strong to play this game, physically strong, and you would know that as well as anybody.
Yeah, it's really awesome. I go back home over the summer normally for most of the time, and, you know, I know still a lot of, you know, from the pro players back home, and we get a little, like, workout group together, and I work out with those guys, which I think helps me out a lot, too, just to, you know, be around men and working out with older guys and, you know, ask them questions, and they have a lot of experience, and they help me out a lot over the summers.
Now, this past weekend, we win two games from Ferris State. Ferris State's a lot different type team, a little bit different structure than Notre Dame or University of Michigan. Those teams rely on high-end talent and fly around all over the place. They're kind of tough to keep up with sometimes, but Ferris gave us a lot of trouble, too. I don't remember Michigan or Notre Dame sneaking players in behind our defense like Ferris State did a couple of times. What happens on a play like that?
We knew going into the games against Ferris, you know, that it's going to be definitely different than playing Denver and Notre Dame and those high-end teams, but it's not going to be, you know, any easier playing Ferris than those teams. Like, they're still a good team. They have a lot of speed, and like you said, like, they slash guys a lot, they fly guys, and it's tough to defend that sometimes. You know, as a defenseman, you have to stay back a lot and make sure that nobody's flying behind you, and so we had to be on our toes, and you know, it was not any easier than the other games, for sure.
Now, what are you doing in the classroom, etc.? You're a junior at this point. What are you majoring in? What do you hope to be able to do someday if you don't play hockey beyond college? What will you do?
Well, my major is international business, and you know, that was really appealing to me. Also, you know, going here, the business school they have here, and the whole business aspect, and you know, hopefully, you know, my plan, of course, is to play pro after college hockey, and for me, it's also nice kind of to have the option to you know, if it doesn't work out here, to go back home to Germany and play possibly pro there too. But you know, with a degree, I kind of have a backup and see, you know, what I would do with that after if I'm not playing anymore.
Now, when you were a youngster, did you kind of envision that someday you'd play some college hockey? Did you think about going to the U.S. to play, or did that all kind of happen when you went to Fargo and to Minneapolis with your travel team?
No, I definitely envisioned it. As I said, our first trip we had with the junior team in Germany over to the U.S. was to Grand Forks, and we played a tournament there and went to University of North Dakota and looked at the facilities and everything they had there and played in that arena. And
that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah. And from then on, you know, I wanted to play, I wanted to come over here and play college hockey and, you know, work towards that goal the next couple of years.
How would you describe this team? You know, don't compare it to past Laker teams you've been on, because that wouldn't be fair, but the chemistry is pretty good with this team. We've got all the international players, Canadians, Americans in there. The coaching staff gets along pretty well. Would you say that's pretty accurate, that this is a good chemistry team?
Yeah, 100%. The team's going along really nicely. You know, it's fun to get into a locker room every day, you know, doing the workouts, doing the practice. You know, it's never a hard time going to the arena to do that. It's always fun, and it's a great chemistry, like you said, in the team. And also, you can see that the coaches have good chemistry together, and it's fun to go every day and work.
Now, you've been to Bemidji before, so that long trip isn't going to faze you at all. But good facilities over there, and they're a pretty good team. It'll be a tough test this weekend.
Yeah, they're definitely a good team. You know, they played they play well in the last couple of games too, against some pretty tough teams. So they've been tested too, and we know that. And we know going in that it's going to be a tough series. And yeah, we're looking forward to it.
Do you have a preference in who you play with back there? Is there somebody on this team you kind of like to play with on defense, or does it matter to you?
Well, I mean, I play with Sako and Nordy mostly in the past years, and I really like playing with both of them. And you know, I always say, you know, it doesn't really matter that much to me who I'm playing with. You know, I feel like I can probably play with most of the guys.
Yeah, you can adjust to whatever's going on. Well, we appreciate you being here tonight, Lucas, and it's your first time on this show. Maybe we can get you back before the season's over. Good luck this weekend Bemidji and the rest of the season.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Lucas Kybel joining us here on the Laker Hockey Show. We're flat out of time. We're at the top of the hour. Don't forget, Matt Pocket will be out in Bemidji this weekend. He'll have the games for us all. We'll all be listening to that. And we'll have another Laker Hockey Show for you next Tuesday. Laker Hockey Talk will be on the air this Thursday morning at 8:30. Even though the team's leaving, we'll record it tomorrow and play it back for you on Thursday. That takes care of another Laker Hockey Show. For Emily Pentecost back at the station and Matt Pocket here, Bill Crawford saying so long till next Tuesday night on ESPN 1400.